the spring, the turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money.
If you're following along in our home maintenance calendar, you know that today, August 7th, our Farm Fresh topic is organic versus traditional farming. And let's talk specifically. It's a different method. What is the method that's so different in organic farming that you have to follow to get USDA certified?
So two of the biggest aspects of difference are where the crop gets its nutrients from. So in the case of conventional, you can have things that are made from man-made processes, such as most of the crops that are grown in the United States and around the world use a nitrogen sequestering process where they take nitrogen out of the atmosphere, which most of us know the atmosphere around us that we're breathing in and out is mostly nitrogen. It's a man-made process that takes that nitrogen out of the air and puts it into a liquid or gaseous form that is available to plants to be able to use. And that's a pretty remarkable process. And when you're growing organically, you're relying on a natural process, not a man-made process. In other words, it's that nitrogen is captured by a crop. It's fed to an animal. And the waste product that comes out of the south end of a northbound bovine, a cow, is the principal source. But you also have chicken manure and those sort of things as well that are great sources of the various different inputs that we need for growing the crop. So your nitrogen, your phosphate, and other minor elements. Conventional producers also use organic soil amendments like composted manure as well. And so it's not unique to just organic production, but that's one of the biggest differences. And then, of course, the pest control side of things, Romy, we got there are over 100 different products that are registered to use as pest control for various different pests that will attack a crop. But very few of them work real well, and some of them are pretty dangerous and difficult to use that are available to organic production methods, whereas conventional methods in the last 30 years, we've seen a real revolution. Crop protection chemistries have gotten dramatically safer, and a lot of the old stuff that was pretty difficult to work with as a handler, mixing pesticides and applying pesticides, or that was hard on the environment, most of that stuff's been outlawed in the United States and isn't available to you. It's still available in lots of other countries. But those are the two big differences. And there is one product that we use for both conventional and organic production for worm and thrip control. That's a pretty amazing story that we could talk about on the side if you want. But those are the two main differences.
So fertilizing, pest control, what about weed control?
So yeah, we also, as a farmer, we'd lump that in with pest control. So, you know, weed control, and we talked about that briefly before, you have to use a lot of mechanical means. You might use fire. Fire is actually approved. You can use natural gas or propane gas and use a weed burner to burn weeds. You also, here in Arizona, where we have a lot of great sunshine that Julie mentioned earlier, this in Yuma, we have 360 days of sunshine most years. In fact, there used to be a hotel in Yuma that said your stay is free every time the sun doesn't shine, and they didn't give out very many free rooms. So it's kind of it's a pretty sunny place down there, and Maricopa County isn't far behind, but you can lay out plastic across the soil and kill all the weeds that are in the soil underneath the top of the bed, and then peel that plastic off. And that's a method called solarization. It kills all those things. But there's a lot of different processes that organic producers use in place of the ability to use safe and effective herbicides like a conventional producer would.
And the thing that I always found fascinating is sometimes there's an assumption that the USDA certified organic rule is assuring and guaranteeing some of those food safety issues. It's, again, it's guaranteeing the method of farming. The conventional farmer and the organic farmer even if he wasn't organic, is highly regulated in what he can and cannot use. And that's the thing that we have to stress with our listeners, is that, you know, even that list of chemicals, man-made chemicals that you might apply, whether it's the fertilizer or the pesticide, it's highly regulated by the federal government, state government. And, the organic guy, farmer has to adhere to that also.
Can you use Brondo in organics?
I don't believe
it. It's got electrolytes.
So I you'd have to tell me about Brondo. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is this an advertisement?
You either got it or you didn't. It's from a movie.
Oh, okay.
Where somebody's frozen and 500 years comes back, and he was an average guy, and 500 years later, he's suddenly the smartest guy in the world, and they can't figure why their crops aren't growing because it's been so commercialized. They've convinced it that they need to use Brondo to grow their crops, and their crops are all dead, and they can't figure it out. It was a silly reference to a parody movie. So when you're growing organics, one of the most interesting things you said during the break is you couldn't just say, all right, you know what? It's a great market. I anticipate next year for organics. I'm going to start today. No, you had to start 3 years ago.
Yeah, no matter what you do in farming, it's kind of cliche in agriculture, but a lot of people have said it, but there's no such thing as fast food, and you can't make quick changes in methods. So, you have to have the ground be laid out of conventional production for 3 years, or another way of doing it is you can grow organically for 3 years, but you can't sell it that way. You can't sell it as certified organic. The first year, you have to sell it as conventional. The second 2 years, if I remember correctly, you can sell it as transitional. You're basically telling the consumer, hey, I grew this crop with organic methods, but it's on a piece of farm ground that was farmed for however many years, and now I'm in my second or third year of transition to organic. And a lot of people that are clued in and supportive of the organic method of producing crops key in on that and go, I'm going to buy that transitional stuff because that's helping a farmer who's transitioning more ground. So, you know, those are inside buzzwords for people that are really clued into organic.
The 3 year rule is pretty standard.
Yeah. That's been the standard. It's part of the rule. There are some minor exceptions to that for like greenhouse grown things and that sort of thing where you're growing them in containers and soils. But if you're talking about what you would think of as agriculture, a large expansive field and planting the crop, yes, 3 years.
Well, John, since you're all conventional right now, don't we have a right to criticize you with the environment?
Well, you could. I don't think either one of the methods is necessarily better or worse. You have to kind of – there are pluses and minuses to both. And like any choice we make – you're producing something, so you have to take what you get as a product and say, is it worth what all the inputs were and the way we went about it? I think in general it is. I don't know too many people that can get by without food, and I think either way of producing is quite good. A lot of people key in on what herbicides or insecticides or fungicides conventional farmers are able to use, but most of those people are not aware that over the last 30 to 40 years, we've seen a dramatic revolution in what we call in the business, what we call crop protection chemistries, whether they be a fungicide for killing fungi that might attack our crop or an insecticide that's killing insects. And ironically, spinach is one of those things that gets sprayed a lot. And a lot of the crop that I grew organically was for years was spinach. And you spray organic spinach a lot more than you spray conventional spinach. You spray it a lot more times. The problem is a lot of organic pesticides aren't that effective. They're just not that good of a pesticide. So you're treating a lot of times, not getting a whole lot out of those treatments, but it's all you have. And you want to make sure that you make a marketable crop. As I mentioned before, you have months of preparation and growing the crop and everything else. You need to make sure you make a crop at the end of the day and have something to sell to recoup all or most of your money and hopefully make a profit if you're lucky. But regarding pest control and organic production, there's a there's an old adage, and if there's farmers listening, they're, especially if they're organic farmers, they're going to roll their eyes a little bit. But all of us have heard it or said it, but there's an old adage that don't panic, it's organic. So sometimes you go out into those organic fields and there's a lot going on pest-wise. And if you also look at conventional crops, you go, that'd be a real simple fix with a really safe, great insecticide, and you can't do anything about it, and you have to just watch the crop get eaten up a little bit, and it is what it is.
So. Crop biologist Steve Savage says that organic farming is not the best way to farm from an environmental point of view. And again, this is just his opinion, but he is a crop biologist. There are now several cutting-edge agricultural practices which are good for the environment, but difficult or impossible for organic farmers to implement within the constraints of their rules with the organic rules. So it's not so much about it is about what can and can't be done, but sometimes it's the constraints of the rule. Now, what I have learned from some of my organic farmers is they're like my conventional farmers, is they're so innovative with their strategies to manage pests that sometimes, and within those rules, which are hard and fast, that they can be successful at it and keep working it. But I tell you, you have to be a gifted farmer for both methods than to be able to turn, you know, a slight profit on this. So whether they're conventional, whether they're organic, amazing farmers doing amazing things here in the state of Arizona. What do you see for the future of organics in terms of market, consumer demand, what's going on now, what will take place in the next several years?
I think it's a little bit difficult to say. I don't have a great crystal ball. Many of us in agriculture have to be reactionary. After all, we're growing food, we're growing fiber that, you know, it has to be based on what consumers are looking for. So we have to be responsive to that. And, you know, I'm not passing judgment on one versus the other. I'm just trying to present some facts. So for my preference, and for my family, I've produced both, and I will buy organic if that's the only thing available. But I typically buy all conventional, and I think over time, the science and everything will lay out that they're pretty comparable. And if you believe in one versus the other, that's fine. But I do think we're seeing a little bit of a plateau in demand. It is more expensive to produce and to buy organic products. And it's, you know, I think that's rounding off a little bit. We're seeing a little bit of a plateau in consumer demand, especially as food becomes more expensive and people have a wide variety of choices. I would like to hope that everybody's basing it on good information and that they've looked into the information and the facts and made a decision. But I don't know if it's always based on that for consumers.
John Boltz, Desert Premium Farms out of Yuma, and Julie Murphy, Arizona Farm Bureau spokeswoman. One more segment here in the Farm Fresh Hour.